أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيدنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Whenever we consider any law or any hukum of Sharia, the first and the foremost thing which comes to our mind is, who is the lawgiver? Normally when a Jamaat passes a resolution, we pass a constitution or laws or resolution. We take into consideration the prevailing situation, our past experience, and we preempt so many things so that in the future we may not have any problems. Those are our laws and we respect them. And suddenly we find that there is a flaw, there is a fault somewhere, we change it. It's all our law. Because the laws were enacted by those from whom mistakes could be possible. But when it comes to Sharia, it is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, there is no question of it being changed or it being applicable today and not tomorrow. Now, in order to understand, and all those ahkam of Sharia are in Furu'uddin. So you will find that before Furu' can be understood, it is absolutely necessary to understand usul. Who is the giver? Allah. Having understood Allah, then you will understand the meaning of the order that has been given. Because with the conception or the belief that the lawgiver was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was just, who is just, not valim. So Adalat comes in. He conveyed through his prophets and Aimma. So Imamat and Nabuwat come in. And he declared, a day when my acts will be reckoned. Ma'ad came in. So Usuladin comes there automatically before Furu' is implemented. That is the reason why, my friends, that once Usuladin has been understood, people don't have any questions about Furu' anymore. And those who start asking questions as to why in Furu'uddin, that means they have still not understood their own usul. Had they understood usul, there would have been no question asking. That is why Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, says, we live between hope and fear. We have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, will forgive us. If there had been no hope, there would be no Ramadan. Huh? We have all come here with the hope. No one is sure. It is said that once one mullah said, on the 29th of Ramadan, don't worry, it will come, but it will come after 29 days, that the guest is going, we don't know whether he is pleased or not with us. One fellow stood up and said, Mullah Sahib, he is definitely pleased, because he will come again. You see, a guest who is not pleased does not appear again. But if he appears again, then definitely he goes happy. So he appears again, we might be there or we might not be there. He is there. Now, the idea is this, that we live between hope and fear. Fear that this rosa which I have kept today, I might have slipped somewhere. But there is a hope that inshallah ta'ala I have tried my level best. This applies to alhamd, applies to salat. If you read the tafsir of Surah Alhamd, leaving all, everything aside, Surah Al-Hamd, which is wajib in every salat. And the Prophet said, La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. There is no salat without Surah Fatiha. This is the reason why Mawla Ali alayhi salam says, the first verse revealed to the Prophet was not Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. The first verse revealed to the Prophet was Surah Fatiha, because the Prophet prayed even before declaring his prophethood. That night on the Ghar Hira, of course, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi was revealed. But Surah Al-Hamd was revealed twice, once before the declaration, once after the declaration. That is why it is called Sab'ul Mathani. Seven verses revealed twice. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is expression of hope. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most benevolent, most merciful. This is expression of Maliki Yawmiki. He is the judge on the day of reckoning. One cannot judge me unless he knows everything about me. That means he knows everything about me from here, from the day I was born till the day I die. Only then he can judge me. No? There is no question of calling witness there. Pakde jate hain farishton ke likhe par na haq, Ghalib se. Pakde jate hain farishton ke likhe par na haq. Aadmi koi hamara dame tahreer bhi tha. See, on the day of judgment we will be caught and apprehended because the Malaika wrote it. Who is there to witness what Malaika wrote was true or not? That is only a poet's imagination. There is no question of that. The question is, وَكَفَىٰ بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Today you will be your own accountant, your own auditor. There is no question of pakde jate hain. Now, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmani Ar-Rahim is expression of hope. مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, expression of fear. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ is expression of fear. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينِ is expression of hope. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, expression of hope. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, expression of hope. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, expression of fear. Between one surah, there is expression of hope, raja, and khawf. This is why it is called Suratul Fatiha. In that first ayah, first surah, which we read every day, we express hope and then fear also. Hope. This maintains the balance of a mu'min. He is neither so hopeful that becomes heedless, nor is he so fearful that he is frustrated. In between, this is how the month of Ramadan has got to be looked at. Why? Because Allah said it. That is it. It's simple as that. Qurbatan ilallahi ta'ala. Allah has ordained that I fast in the month of Ramadan. But why 9 hours here and 19 hours then? There was a committee of Muslims which wanted to pass a resolution in 1979 that the fast should be 12 hours all through the year. I remember I wrote a letter to them to say that, but I am not following your laws, I am following divine laws. The day I follow your laws, I will fast for 12 hours a day. But if I follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, then I'll follow according to what He dictates. Sunrise to sunset. All this indicates that when one does not know usul-e-deen, then his furu' is always in a problem. But if one has already understood usul-e-deen, then his furu' will never be in a problem. Rise here, you will rise. Sleep here, you will sleep. When you go to Hajj, we are told, stay here till this time, we stay. Move and we move. 7 times tawaf, we do 7 times tawaf. So many times sa'i, we do 7 times sa'i. This is how we follow when we know it is dictated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is this, that we have got to take the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with some pleasure. This is the problem. Go to the office on a day you are fasting, and a non-Muslim looks at you and says, poor fellow is starving. I have seen chits from the headmasters and headmistresses written back to the parent. You don't send your children starving. Now there is a difference between fasting and starving. But if you keep your appearance like Maghloom, you see, don't even brush, like brushing and cleaning your teeth during Ramadan is mustahab equally as in any day. You see, no one has told us to go out with mouth stinking, like a gutter. Yeah? We have been asked to clean our mouth, clean our tongue. You see, wash your face properly. In fact, look fresher than the other days. So that whoever looks at you and you tell him that you are fasting, he admires it. He doesn't look like fasting. Because they cannot imagine fasting. You see, while in our community, Islamic community, even young boys and girls, they fast. And they fast with their own intention, no pressure. You see, if you don't allow them to fast, they weep and cry. You see, they go with their own courage. Send them to school fresher, so that they may show them that, well, if we are fasting, but at the same time, we are not starving. But the way we look and the way we keep ourselves, so that is the reason why there is a three-pronged, three-dimensional rather, relation in every amal of Islam. Any amal you take, it is haqqullah, haqqun nafs, haqqun nas. Any amal you take. Namaz. Haqqullah is namaz itself. I am told to pray, come clean. Not only clean in taharat, but you clean even in my dress. Right? You know this and I know, I don't need to tell you, but it is makruh for anyone who has eaten onions or lasan to come to the mosque without cleaning his mouth. It is makruh. Why? I have eaten onions. I have eaten garlic. It is makruh to come to the mosque in public with mouth giving the stench of onions and garlic and masala. Brush your teeth first thoroughly and then come and clean your mouth. Why is it makruh? Why is it not makruh at home if you pray alone? Haqqun nas. Namaz-e-jamaat is haqqun nas. Imam is told, it is said, the Prophet said, O Imam, when you pray, be mindful of the people behind you. If they are very old, they can't sustain very long namaz. You see, somebody might fall down. Keep your namaz in such a length that all can join. Even those who say, Ya Allah, from there, not from here, they make an appeal for me to wait from there while they're still doing wudu. I hear an appeal. Allah, Ya Allah, inna Allah ma'a sabirin. And I know that he's very far away, he's near the tap. By the time he finishes his ruku, his wudu, and comes here, I will have to repeat 10 times. It is makruh for me to wait for him. You read in Masayif. It is mustahab only to do double what you are doing every day. That means if I read Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamdi once, if I hear an appeal, Ya Allah, I will only repeat again once. If during that time he can join, fabiha. If he cannot join, let him wait. But you can't make people wait. Some of them might be very old. Same thing applies to fast. I have fasted immediately. Haqqun nas comes in. Because now I'm fasting. I'm obliging the whole world. The moment somebody says something and I bounce upon him and jump upon him. People lose temper during Ramadan for nothing. because otherwise they would have taken it gracefully, but in Ramadan, because of hunger and all that, people quarrel about half a minute left for Adhan. According to my watch, it is time. According to Mullah Sahib's watch, it is time. But Mukhi Sahib says, no, Haji, 15 seconds baki chhe, 15 seconds. And we quarrel with him for 15 seconds, which otherwise even do not know what it is mean, how many seconds are there in a minute. Two very close friends sitting for iftar, fight for nothing. Iftar, just before tea, shaitan enters there. One man was once late. He went to Kabristan for Fatiha and he came back late. His friend was waiting for him. He said, how come you are late? He said, I went to Kabristan for Fatiha. Oh, he said, you came back alive? It was just a good, sweet joke. Nobody comes back alive from Kabristan. Whoever goes, goes there forever. In Gujarati, they say, gaya te gaya, pacha dekhana nahi. You see, and you came back alive. He meant it as a joke. The fellow flared up. He said, what do you mean? You are praying for my death. And from that day, they never spoke again. What happened? Shaitan entered in right at the time. Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Quoting from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the Prophet said, how many people fast and they have no benefit from it except keeping thirsty and being hungry? That's all. So somebody said, Ya Ali, how come? He said, because the moment you fast, together with so many haqqun nas, apply. Do not abuse, do not fight, do not react, do not be rude. Be in the best of your behavior. Be polite. And he says, you may smile to every moment you meet, but there is no need for you to laugh, because these are not the days of laughter, loudly, you see. And do not crack unnecessary jokes, and do not react. And do, if possible, he said, be at a place where you may not be asked to talk, so that you may all the time be with your tasbih and istighfar and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At home, on your table, in the corner of your house. Because you may not disturb people. Haqqun nas. And then he said something. He said, do you know what the Prophet meant when he said that your sleep is also ibadah in the month of Ramadan? They said, yes, sleeping. I said, no, there was a reason. The reason was that sleeping is the only act which can prevent you from doing ghibat, from backbiting. You are sleeping. No, that's all. Because if you are awake and you are passing your night, to say that you are keeping awake whole night with ghibat, backbiting people who are not there, speaking ill of men and women who are not there, has got no meaning whatsoever. On the contrary, it is guna. That is why the Prophet said, Naumukum fihi ibadah. If you find that there is nothing you can do, to sleep is itself an act of worship. Therefore, the first thing is to, in this month, I don't say apply a tape, but at least metaphorically it means apply a tape. Keep silent and talk less. It is a month of talking less. As-samtu was-sukut, keeping silent, and even if provoked, not to react. This is the beginning of it. Now what happens? Sheikh Saadi says, taqassu khaneena guftabashat, till a man does not speak, you don't know whether he is a learned man or a fool, because he is silent. Sometimes silent people really impress you, because with his silence you feel this man must be knowing much more than I do. And suddenly when he speaks, you understand that this man is a fool of the first order, you see. So تا کس سخنی نگفته باشد، عیب و هنرش نهفته باشد. Do not speak. لقمان الحکیم. لقمان was not a prophet, but he was a حکیم. There is a surah in Quran, surah لقمان in 21st chapter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts and acknowledges لقمان as حکیم, a wise man. He used to live in the time of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. Dawood was a prophet. And Quran says, وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدُ. We made iron very soft for Dawood. It was his mu'jiza, one of the miracles which worked in the hands of Dawood alayhi salam, was that iron was made soft like wax. One day, for the sake of preparing an armor, which could be worn in the war, Hazrat Dawood prepared a pattern, and then with the iron he prepared one armor. As he went on preparing the armor, which was to be worn by the warriors, Luqman was sitting there from the beginning till the end. Now everyone who for the first time does something which is new likes that people should ask as to what it is being done. There should be some inquiry, some curiosity. This man just looked at what he was doing. He looked at the way he manipulated wax. He looked at the way he was preparing the pattern and the armor. But he never asked. And Dawood waited for one question from Luqman. And Luqman did not inquire. He just watched and observed. When it was all ready, after a week or so, he said, Luqman, come closer. Luqman came and said, I just tried this on. Luqman tried it on. He said, it fits you well. Do you know what it is? He said, no. He said, Baba, you have killed me. For 1 week I have been doing this before you. You didn't even inquire what I was doing. There's no curiosity in you. If you did not know what I was doing, why didn't you ask? At least it would have encouraged me to tell you that I was doing something. Luqman said, there was no need to speak because I knew you will tell me. I only speak when it is absolutely necessary. Otherwise I don't. I knew you would tell me one day as to what has happened. Now what it is? He said, this is an armor for a soldier. So he said, you are. Now why should I ask? You see, qillatul kalam, idha qalla kalamuka, idha qalla kalamuka, kamula aqluka. When your talks are reduced, your aql becomes kamil and perfect. The month of Ramadan is for that. Apart from making our aql kamil, inshallah, it will save us from many, many sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Among the mustahabbat, only two masail today. It is mustahab to have sahri. Sahri means what they call daku. It is sunnah, not only tradition, it is mustahab. If you don't want to have anything, at least glass of water, glass of milk, or whatever you want to, but take sahri with surah inna anzalna, read surah inna anzalna, and take the sahri. Sahri is mustahab. In fact, the Prophet recommended it for your health, that before you start in Saat, take Sahar. Now whether you take it at 12 o'clock after midnight or if you take it early in the morning before in Saat, it's up to you. But Sahri is mustahab. If you cannot, then at least one date, khajur. And it is mustahab. That at the time of iftar, when you, inshallah, sit for iftar, say, Allahumma laka sumna wa ala rizqika aftarna. Oh Allah, we kept this fast for you. And now from risk and your subsistence and what you have provided, we are now breaking fast. Fataqabbal minna, accept from us. This can be said in English, in Gujarati, in any language. But this is what is conveyed in Arabic. Allahumma laka sumna wa ala rizqika aftarna فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا and you accept it from us every day. And it is mustahab to give iftar to others. Now that can be done in many ways. If iftar is here, for example, then those who bring whatever they bring from home for mu'mineen to partake, it's also iftar. Somebody comes with, say, let us say, a pound or two of dates and gives to Mukhi Sahab or whoever, says this is for mu'mineen and mu'minat to eat, that is meaning of giving iftar. Somebody contributes towards a tea, if there is iftar and not this tea which you will get now. This is not iftar at the time of breakfast. And he says this is for mu'mineen, mu'minat, that is also iftar. Or he comes himself to his own thali, for example, and there are so many mu'mineen around him and he distributes whatever he has brought from home to others and says, let us take part in this. This is also iftar. Or alternatively, invites home and says, we will have iftar today to move together. And the best form of it is, and this is the appeal for me, that someday look at the sufra at home and look at how many dishes you have. One bread from there can feed a mouth somewhere where there is no food. I just cannot describe, but there are families in Bosnia, in Kashmir, in India, in Pakistan, in Iraq, here, there are families whose doors remained open all over Ramadan at night, from Maghrib till Salah, for anyone to come and eat at any time. Today they can't afford iftar in London. Their homes and houses were open in their hometowns for anyone to come at any time. Today the world has changed, circumstances have changed. They are here, they can't afford iftar with their children. So they are Sadat and non-Sadat. What I'm asking for is one piece of bread. Calculate the value and give it per head and say this is iftar for those who cannot afford. Inshallah ta'ala, whoever does iftar with that penny of ours, he will pray, she will pray, the children will pray, and this will in turn give us barakah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.